18 minutes past the hour, you're listening to The World Today from the BBC World Service. Now, there's been more violence in China between police and protesters than the southern province of Guangdong. At least one person is reported to have died, and reports suggest it may have been a 13-year-old girl. The violence erupted when the police used tear gas and electric batons to clear as many as 20,000 people, who over the weekend blockaded a road as part of a land protest. Well, such protests in rural parts of China are becoming commonplace. Indeed, Professor Joshua Moldovan from New York's Sarah Lawrence College told me that even official Chinese estimates in 2004 put the number of such demonstrations at 74,000.
The 74,000, that's an interesting figure because this is the official figure from the State Security Bureau and their own statistics for this past year. So that means on any given day, the state is having to deal with about 200 or more uprisings or incidences of unrest someplace in the country. So if you put on the hat of a state leader, this is really an important and very difficult thing on a daily basis, not something that's just an occasional. I mean, one of the things I've argued is that this is not unexpected, and that, in fact, the paradox to me and that I've tried to focus on is that the long-term growth, these two decades of very rapid growth, have led and created a set of environmental and social consequences that now are undermining the ongoing ability to maintain that growth.
We hear so much about the growth in China, don't we? And sometimes it appears as if the outside world is in love with this Chinese miracle. But what you seem to be suggesting is that there's a dark side to this.
Absolutely. And that dark side is primarily felt by the rural majority and by the most vulnerable people in the society. So you have in China the development of over anywhere between 100 and 150 million in the middle class. You have a very powerful elite that has developed. But you also have in the hinterlands a very large number of peasants who have their lives have and incomes have either stagnated, and for many of them their situations have gone in decline.
So would it be fair to say then that there are almost two Chinas now, one which the world pays homage to and is completely aware of, and another China that is almost forgotten now?
Two Chinas is a wonderful way of talking about it. In fact, sometimes I speak of it as multiple Chinas because it gets even a little bit more complex than that. But certainly there are two Chinas. And there's one that for investors and those interested in trying to go in and make money, set up factories, use China as this industrial platform for the world. Then there's this rural hinterland. And the rural hinterland is a whole other story. And in that area, most of what has gone on has been an increasing of peasants' risk, and as they've been increasingly reliant just upon household labor and now small plots of land for their livelihoods.
When we get these incidences of unrest and of protest and sometimes of violence in rural China, how heavy-handed are the authorities in dealing with it?
Hard actually to say in any kind of generalized sense, but I would say that the state is so aware and so concerned about the possibility of some kind of coalition or gathering of different groups together to start organizing on a broader sense, that they're very quick to try to do two things. One is to find out if there are leaders and to pull them out right away and reprimand them or worse. But the second thing is to also try to intervene, and often with local governments, which is where the conflict is often most intense, is between local peasants and local.
Well, of course, it is a government of revolution itself. It's born from revolution, so it presumably knows where these sort of incidences can lead.
Well, exactly. My feeling about this in the long term is that the Chinese state is incredibly clear on the roots of the 49 revolution. So those roots emanated from massive inequality and social insecurity. And so now, in the current situation for peasants and rural workers, they've seen the state increasingly side with a newly rich over the last two decades in many of these areas, and often at a direct cost to themselves, their families, and their communities. So that does hark back to a previous era, and now with enormous numbers landless peasants. So in the current situation, that then means that the state is struggling just to maintain legitimacy in these rural areas. And it's the loss of that legitimacy that I think lies at the heart of the most recent strife.
I was speaking there to Professor Joshua Moldovan from New York's Sarah Lawrence College.
In Nigeria, heavily armed militia using speedboats have clashed with Nigerian soldiers as they attacked an oil platform operated by Shell in the Niger Delta. At least five people were wounded, and unconfirmed reports speak of deaths among the military. Our business report.